Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. I am joined, as always, by my trusted co-host and colleague and friend of many years. His name is Dan Rubenstein. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our show. We broadcast all off-season, though not always twice a week, at iTunes.com/SolidVerbal. We are also available, let's see, Dan, on Google Play, on TuneIn, on Stitcher, on, where am I forgetting? What am I forgetting?
Facebook,
Twitter.
Twitter.com.
Instagram, Snapchat, a whole bunch of places. Sir, how are you?
Good. And I just, and this is actually breaking news, we're now on Farmers Only. So,
okay.
We don't plow fields, but you get the idea.
You get the idea.
Yeah, we're everywhere. And we are also, speaking of being everywhere, on January 14th in New York City, we will be announcing the details about how to get tickets soon. And it is a very limited engagement, but we are doing a live show here in New York. I say here because I am in New York at the moment. You are not terribly far away from New York. We are going to be doing a live show and just hanging out and eating. I guess it's some sort of like mini VerbaCon / live show. I don't know what we're calling it, but it's happening January 14th. We confirmed the venue. We will have details soon. I would follow our Facebook page. I guess like our Facebook page. I would follow twitter.com/solidverbal. And I would listen to this show for details. That's what I'm saying right now to you and to everybody.
As you said, we'll be announcing details of it. You and I still have a lot to plan on this front, not the least of which is how we're selling tickets. And we're going to get that
barter
figured
system.
Out. Barter system, right. We'll get that figured out here in relatively short order, but do stay tuned to all the social media channels. That's probably the best and quickest way to get updates. We'd love to see you there if you're in the New York City area, even if you're just passing through. Again, details are forthcoming, so be alive. Okay, we've got some actual breaking news. Breaking news!
Boop, 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 boop.
We've got a new head football coach at Florida Atlantic University, Dan. As some have said, the Owls. The new coach is Lane Kiffin, huh?
It is. And thus concludes a pretty exhaustive question that you've asked a lot of our guests. What is the over-under? What if I gave you an over-under of 3.5, 4.5, 2.5 years after Lane Kiffin was unceremoniously let go at the tarmac at LAX from USC? What is the number of years that will go by before Lane Kiffin gets a new head coaching job?
Well, that was one of the over-unders, but the big over-under is still on the table. The big over-under is how many head coaching jobs will Lane Kiffin have in his career?
True.
So it started with the Oakland Raiders. That was one. Then he moved to Tennessee. That was two. Then to USC. That was three. Then he got fired. All right. So the over-under was always, I believe, 5.5. All right. Which means that he's got four now with Florida Atlantic. You would assume if it goes well at Florida Atlantic, there will be a fifth. The question is, will there be a sixth? So you're over under 5.5, still on the board. But it does get interesting now as he takes this FAU job. First and foremost, a ton of coaching talent in Florida because Charlie Strong's there now. We've obviously got Jim McElwain, who's been doing a pretty good job recruiting, though not actually winning. We've got Mark Richt, who is also in the Florida area. A lot of artillery when it comes to the coaching side of things in the great state of Florida. And also, he took a pay cut to get this gig. I thought the most insightful comment of all came from our friend Stuart Mandel, who I believe wrote a piece about how now at 41, Lane Kiffin gets the job that he should have had at 31.
Yeah, it's not a bad point at all. And it would be somewhat easy to see him succeeding at a place like FAU, if not for the fact that Charlie Strong is now, which is also breaking news officially,
is at
USF and taking the place of Willie Taggart, who moved on to Oregon. Butch Davis is at FIU. Jimbo Fisher, of course, at Florida State. Jim McElwain at Florida. And Miami has Mark Richt, all of whom are very good recruiters. And not to say that three-star recruits in Florida are scraps, because a Florida three-star recruit is a significant recruit pretty much everywhere in the country. But if there's enough talent to go around and Lane Kiffin is able to field a good to pretty good to even very good team at FAU for the Owls, where does he springboard? What is his Western Kentucky to Louisville?
I was thinking South Carolina after they fire Will Muschamp in 2 years.
You think he's only going to last 3 years? They improved it. They went 6-6.
Knee-jerk reaction, South Carolina. But it's somewhere in the Southeast.
I'm going to say San Diego State. Rocky Long is 66.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Lane Kiffin, your new coach at FAU, the state of Florida, gets really interesting on the recruiting front. The other news, and again, we're recording this on a Monday, we should add, there are probably going to be other news tidbits that drop now that Kiffin's going to FAU to be head coach.
Right.
Some coordinator moves and things of that ilk that I would imagine are going to pop up here over the next couple days that we might miss on this show. But at least before we hit record, DeShone Kizer did announce that he is going pro. Mm-hmm. He's going to forego next season and go to the NFL. I think it's a good move for him.
Why?
I know that a lot of the guys out there, the scouts, are saying, no, he should get another year in college to kind of ripen a little bit more. But Kizer reminds me of a guy who's going to test pretty well at the combine. He's going to do real well on the Wonderlic. He's going to wow people with his interview skills. And there's always a team out there that's willing to reach on a project quarterback. We saw Christian Hackenberg went pretty high a year ago. He's still a long ways away from being a starter in the NFL. Jared Goff went one overall, a guy that I don't believe you or I was too high on coming out of college. But he left early, went one overall, and he's now kind of sputtering through his first year in the NFL. I just feel like if you're a quarterback with great physical tools, if you test well at the combine, someone's going to take a risk on you. And if Matt Barkley's the cautionary tale, dog, go out and get your money before you get hurt. So that combined with the fact that things at Notre Dame didn't go all that peachy last season for him, and I just feel like it was the right move across the board. I do.
What was his best game against a decent team this past year? And I'm totally willing, and I saw, I don't know if it was our pal Pete Sampson talking about that the wide receiver targets that he had were something like 6 of 40 on contested targets. Like, it certainly was a step back from 2015 in terms of what he had out wide. But what was his best game? I have his game log right here. Obviously, there was the disaster in the monsoon. And that North Carolina State, I would argue, is probably not even decent.
Right.
Michigan State is a 3-9 team. He had a pretty good game against them. Texas fired their coach, and he had a very good game against Texas, but they turned out to be not so good. Miami was decent. Is Miami the answer?
Miami,
it's a good
might
Miami
be,
defense.
Might be the answer. He dropped a few dimes in that game, yeah.
But Virginia Tech, I would say, was somewhat disappointing. He didn't complete 50% of his passes, and obviously that's not all on him. The USC game was kind of a mess.
I'm going to answer and say Michigan State, and I know Michigan State's not a decent team, but in terms of how he fared in that game versus others, it was pretty apparent about midway through that he was going to have to hoist the team on his back in order to win that game. They obviously didn't win. They lost by 8, but Notre Dame came crawling back. That was back in the early part of the season where everyone thought Notre Dame could still have a chance at salvaging a season after losing that heartbreaker to Texas. Mm-hmm. It became apparent early in that game that it was going to be Kizer or bust, and he damn near did it. So for me, just watching at home, the numbers don't quite compare to some of the other games throughout the course of the season, but in terms of how important he was to his team, I think it's probably Michigan State.
Yeah, he took a step back. Completion percentage, rating, and yards per attempt from 2015 to 2016. Against ranked teams this year, he finished 12th in quarterback rating against ranked teams in 2016, 48th.
Yeah.
So I mean, certainly struggled at times.
That makes sense to me. I don't think he trusted his line. I don't think he trusted his receivers.
Okay.
I think he's got some ripening that he needs to do as a player before maybe he can grow into his full potential. But I think a good move for him. I think the time is right to part ways and, you know, seek a new beginning in the NFL.
Is he a first round pick?
I'm not a draft expert. I think he's probably got first round talent. I just don't know if it's quite there out in the open yet. There's definitely room to grow. He missed a lot of open guys this year.
And the future for Notre Dame at quarterback now without DeShone Kizer and Malik Zaire?
The future is Brandon Wimbush. And okay. Behind the scenes, folks are pretty excited about Brandon Wimbush. He's a true...
No competition.
A true dual threat guy. I can't imagine there'd be much competition. I think it's his job, barring any kind of crazy injury or anything like that. So we'll see which direction they take the offense now with Wimbush. He's more Zaire than I think Kizer.
Okay.
Just with his running ability.
Same.
So, you know, we'll see what we'll see how they tailor the offense in 2017.
What direction do you want to see the offense go with the talent available in South Bend?
I want to see them get better at running the football.
Okay.
That was a problem this year. I expected them to be way better running the ball. They didn't have it. So they got to get better at running the football. If they get better at running the football, I think that helps you unlock Wimbush as a passer.
It's got a cannon, right?
He's got a cannon for an arm, like Ken Phelps, but you need to get that running game in place first before we can really utilize his entire skill set.
Okay. But your takeaway from DeShone Kizer's legacy, his time at Notre Dame, net positive?
Total net positive. Total net positive. He represented himself and the university well. I thought he did an admirable job in 2015, nearly leading Notre Dame into the playoffs. And this year was just a systemic failure on a number of different fronts. He contributed to it, but he wasn't the sole reason.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that.
Fair enough. All right.
Any other news for you, Dan?
No, that's all I got.
All right. Join our bowl pool. We're going to be doing previews here momentarily. You can find the link to that bowl confidence pool out on Facebook and Twitter. We're also going to post that on solidverbal.com. So get in on that, compete for fabulous prizes. Before we do the previews, though, we do have to pay some bills. We've used Blue Apron before in the past. I actually just came up to my studio from cooking downstairs. I cooked up a lovely feast for the Solid wife and I. Some lettuce wraps.
What's inside?
Some chicken lettuce wraps, got some onions in there. Got some other stuff that I probably am not pronouncing correctly. Water chestnuts, you know, some sriracha, I believe is the proper pronunciation of it.
Good job.
Here's my problem, though, with cooking. This has long been an issue I have. I never know exactly how much to buy. I can look at the recipe online or wherever else, and I can double it or triple it or however much it if I want to make more, but something like Blue Apron really comes in handy because they send you exactly what you need.
Right.
They tell you precise instructions for how to cook it. You combine that with the fact that it's less than 10 bucks a meal. They deliver it to you, Dan. Whether it's like ramen noodles or wild-caught Alaskan salmon, heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron brings you the very best. You can cook incredible homemade meals now. It's stupid easy.
if you can do it, easy.
Yeah, if I can do it, you can do it too. They send you high quality ingredients from their community of artisanal suppliers, family run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Right now, check out some of their menu options in December.
Here we go.
All right, this is me cracking my knuckles. You ready?
All right, let's hear it.
All right, roasted pork and braised cabbage with barley and glazed apples.
Good job. One for one.
Thai green coconut curry with sweet potato and jasmine rice.
Okay. Can you name a type of Thai curry?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Not even
Penang, Massaman.
Great. And then finally, brown butter and chestnut gnocchi.
Nope. Oh, good job. I think you got that.
With Brussels sprouts and pea shoot salad. Thank you, Dan. I worked on that just for you. I did practice that.
It came through, Thai. You nailed it. And I think everybody's proud.
Thank you. Check out the menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/solid. You're going to love how it feels, how it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So you don't want to wait. Go to blueapron.com/solid. That's blueapron.com/solid. Dan, Blue Apron, as you know, it is a better way to cook.
I'm in the process of booking and researching my honeymoon in Italy. So as soon as I land,
it's breaking news.
Breaking
news. It's too late now, but
okay. As soon as I land, I will ask the gate agent how to pronounce the potato pasta. I know it to be gnocchi.
Perfect. All right. Let's get some bowls.
Let's do it.
Damn. Time. Help. I need picks of the week.
I almost need a different sound for this. Because they're not really picks of the week, are they?
I'm looking here. So we've got Thursday the 22nd through Tuesday the 27th. So it's like, it's picks of the week in that there is a week span. Sure. Picks of a week.
All right. So here's what we're doing. We're doing bowls and waves and five waves. The fifth wave is going to be the big ones, like the New Year's Six games, the playoff games and whatnot.
Right.
We've got a bunch of other groupings in between. Today, we're going from the famous Idaho Potato Bowl all the way up through the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. All right. Are you prepared for this?
I am. Ty.
Yes.
When I give you the signal, hold on. Yeah. I got to load this. This is taking a little bit, but it's going to work out. I'm very confident. When I give you the signal, I need you to repeat the two bowls that we are spanning, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, Ty, tell me which two bowls we are spanning on this show.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl and the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
That's right. It needs a little bit of seasoning, Ty.
Needs a little bit of kosher salt, some cracked black pepper.
Yeah.
A little sriracha, maybe.
A little saffron. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Boise, Idaho.
Thursday, December 22nd, 7 p.m. on ESPN. This game is played on the Smurf Turf of Albertson Stadium. As you mentioned, it is where Boise State plays. True or false, Dan, here. A little Snopes trivia for you.
Oh.
True or false that local waterfowl confuse this field for a body of water and crash into it?
That I thought was true. Is it not true?
That is apparently a myth.
Oh, that's garbage.
Fake news. It's everywhere.
I don't like that.
Football. Not true.
All right. Fair.
Not true. Okay. This game's between Colorado State and Idaho, the Vandals.
Yeah.
Sort of playing a home game, if you will. Colorado State, a 13.5-point favorite. Now, you know, I look at these home game things. Again, to reiterate my formula, I'm looking first and foremost at motivating factors for the teams involved in these bowl games. And then secondly, I'm looking to try and front load points wherever I can.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new and improved formula for this year.
Yep.
I'm inclined to say that this is a home game for Idaho. However, that's not really a thing because they're 300 miles away from the stadium here.
Yep.
Idaho's a big state. It's like 5.5 hours away. So it's a home state game, which I'm going to say is like half credit, if that's cool with you.
That's great by me.
Idaho's played well down the stretch. They've won their last four games. The question, though, is the competition.
Mm-hmm.
The competition's been a little suspect. Not so much for Colorado State. They've played way tougher competition this year. And according to the S&P, Colorado State's like the 23rd best team in the country. That puts them ahead of teams like Virginia Tech and Pitt and Houston and Notre Dame, which is 25th somehow. I'll just forget about that. Nothing's perfect. Do you have a leaning here, Dan?
I do like the Rams. I do like Colorado State. And not a lot of people in the football world like Rams right around now.
No.
Colorado State hugely improved on offense, especially at the end of the season. If you paid a little bit of attention to Nick Stevens, the Colorado State quarterback, they finished season winning 4-5. They dropped 63 on a very good San Diego State defense. They beat New Mexico, bold team, a really good offense of New Mexico. The Colorado State defense isn't great, particularly versus the run. But here's the problem. Idaho, while they're bowl eligible as a Sun Belt team, everything is very weird in Idaho. And Idaho, under Paul Petrino, they have the best passing offense in the Sun Belt. But I don't think defensively Idaho is there, especially giving up bigger plays. I like Colorado State big, something like 44-21.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it favors Idaho on offense or defense, for what it's worth. My hunch is that this game means a lot to them, being so it is an in-state kind of thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if they cover 13.5.
Potentially their second to last FBS bowl game in a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just feel like Colorado State's got a little too much.
We agree.
We do agree. I'm going to go Colorado State. 39 points, Dan.
And the players in this game will be going to a gift suite. They'll be getting a backpack. Ty, is your prediction Oakley or Ogio?
Going to go both.
It is just Oakley, a beanie, a football, and proof eyewear sunglasses. So they'll be walking away from this. All right. You ever been to Boise?
I haven't been to Boise. I've heard great things, though.
I've been to Boise a few times. It's a pretty fun town. It will dawn on you after a little while. You're like, oh, this is Caucasia. This is, as far as the eye can see, it is Caucasia. So there is that element. But other than that, it's a good enough place.
Okay. Fair enough. So we're both going to Colorado State. I don't know if you're prepared to give like an exact readout of where your confidence points are on all these games.
I don't have it in front of me.
I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to Snapchat out this little graph that I've drawn, which is a mess. But level of confidence here. Are you very, are you medium, are you low confident?
I am upper. I'm pretty confident in Colorado State here.
Okay, that works. Popeye's Bahamas Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You a Popeye's chicken fan?
I mean, not like I am for Blue Apron, but am I a Popeye's fan? I don't really go to fast food places all that often, but if somebody presented me with a bag of Popeyes right now, I'd be pretty happy. I like Popeyes, I like Chick-fil-A. My number one in terms of just a chicken tender, fry, and biscuit order, maybe Bojangles.
Bojangles.
It may be Bojangles.
I feel like this is the next frontier for me because obviously I like fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
No problems with fried chicken. I'm fairly limited, though, in terms of what I've actually had a chance to try. There is a Popeyes nearby. But mostly my chicken experience has been Chick-fil-A. I don't even know if that's considered the same category here. But
Popeyes is very good.
Haven't been to Popeyes. I have been to Crown's Fried Chicken. You ever hear of Crown's Fried Chicken?
No, absolutely not.
Crown's Fried Chicken, I believe, is an establishment in the Philly area. And we talked about our late night drinking endeavors after the Piesman ceremony. I had a little bit of a late night adventure at a Crown's Fried Chicken. They have like 94 fast meals on the scrolling marquee behind the register.
Great.
I've never seen anything like it. I'm wondering if anyone out there has had a similar experience. Not really good chicken, but the menu / ordering experience is unique, we'll say.
What does that mean, unique?
It means they've got every possible permutation available by a number code behind the register. It's a little confusing after a few drinks.
You know who I really like, Ty? And then we'll get to the game. I really like Cane's.
Cane's?
Yeah, yeah. Raising Cane's, the chicken tender chain.
See, never
it's
had
mostly
it.
In
never
the
had
South.
It.
Oh, it's really, it's a focus on tendos and good sauces. You can get like 100 tendos in a bag and just go crazy. Really good.
All right. Well, speaking of fried chicken, Popeye's Bahama Bowl, Nassau, Bahamas, Thomas Robinson Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about either of these teams. I'm going to be honest.
It's ODU's first bowl ever.
ODU's first bowl ever. It is, I believe, Eastern Michigan's first bowl since 1987.
They've been trashed for quite some time.
I don't know a whole lot about either of these teams. I'm not even going to pretend we're all friends here.
Right.
Anything that I would say at this point would be disingenuous. All I know is this. Old Dominion's got a pretty good offense. And for Eastern Michigan, they've got a quarterback named Brogan Roback.
Brogan.
And if you abbreviate their name, it's Emu.
This is true. They improved on defense this year. They're a decent passing team. Emu is. They're in Ypsilanti. I went to a very bad strip club in Ypsilanti many, many years ago after on my SI tour guy days.
Nice.
And it was very strange. I have ODU here 45-40. And that is even, and I looked this up, how many teams with a winning record has Old Dominion played this year and to reach their first ever bowl game?
Four.
That'd be two teams.
Whoa.
Two teams with a winning record, FBS teams, excuse me, with a winning record. So there is that element to, listen, I'm not going to sell them short. Getting to a bowl is a thing. Getting to your first bowl, it's a fun thing for this school and fan base. I have ODU winning 45-40. Bit of a shootout in the Bahamas. It'll be a fun game.
I'm going to go ODU to win their first bowl game, but I'm not pretending here. I have no idea. I'm going to go five confidence points on this game. Okay.
Popeye's Bahamas Bowl. Gift suite. Swell insulated drink bottle.
Swell?
It's S apostrophe W E L L.
Huh.
So well.
Okay.
Okay. Insulated drink bottle, which, okay. I think that's good. A Jabba Bluetooth speaker or speakers. Okay.
Yep.
Drawstring backpack. I'd like a full backpack. That's, give me minimum full backpack, beach towel, and a bullpen. I'd at least tell me if you're giving away like a $100 gift card to the Popeyes nearest the ODU or EMU campus.
That'd be
give
cool.
me that.
That'd be cool. Have you tried, they mentioned the insulated drinking bottle. Have you tried any of those vacuum sealed cups yet?
I don't, like they keep the ice cubes in there all day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You could buy,
I don't think
you
I
could
have.
Buy the super expensive brand. You can buy the generic brand off Amazon, not saying their name because they haven't sponsored the show.
Absolutely.
But I'm telling you, it's a wonder of science. I don't know how they figured out how to do that. I got one at work. It's awesome.
Okay.
All right. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Pow, pow. Fort Worth, Texas, Ammon G. Carter Stadium. Navy 9-4 versus Louisiana Tech 8-5. This one's a pick 'em.
Yes.
Pick 'em. I think there's a lot of reason to like Louisiana Tech in this game. First off, you've got Navy's Will Worth, who broke his foot and is out for the year. He was their quarterback, their best player. Mm-hmm. He did an impressive job taking the baton from Keenan Reynolds, who was all-world everything a year ago. They've also got Tonio Gulley, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He was a slot back. He's done for the year as well. Ooh. They're going to feel that loss in the run game. Plus, Navy's lost two in a row, both to Temple and Army. On the other side, I think we've got a Louisiana Tech team that I'm going to end up picking here. They closed out the year by losing to Southern Miss and Western Kentucky. They actually beat Western earlier in the year in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
The beat on them, I think, is that they're going to score a ton of points and give up a ton of points.
And
That's not anything new for Louisiana Tech. That's sort of the team they've been for a while now, right?
That is correct. Their run defense is actually pretty good. They got run on by WKU, now who doesn't have their coach, but consistently in that game. Otherwise, they've been very good against the run, at least. And Navy's not going to throw the ball a ton, especially not without Will Worth. La Tech, two 1,400-plus yard receivers, and Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor. That is not a usual thing. So good on them, and quarterback Ryan Higgins, a big year. Late season swoon plus the injured quarterback. Kind of feels like this is the game Navy just doesn't want to be there. And that paired with the fact that they have the worst pass defense in the American, I like La Tech here by double digits. I'm going 37-24 La Tech.
Whoa.
Pretty confidently.
Okay.
Like upper middle.
Damn.
In my pool.
I'm going La Tech here too. I don't have nearly as much confidence in the pick, but I feel like the combination of Navy's best player being out with really a bad pass defense against a good passing offense like Louisiana Tech, I am going to take La Tech to win here. I'm going to say 7 confidence points.
Okay.
What's the gift situation looking like?
I just looked it up because there's a product I'm not familiar with, and I don't know how I feel about it. It is Gift Suite, obviously. Finrod's Festive Wear Holiday Sweater.
Finrod's?
Finrod, Finrod.
Finrod.
It's like, it's neon with snowflakes and snowmen, and it's a very, I'm not seeing the exact sweater, but it is weird. It is it's colorful, it is loud, and
see, that's just that's trying a little too hard.
You get a football and a beanie on top of that.
Ugh.
I think Lockheed Martin, for all the cash that they appear to have, do a little bit better. A little bit better. You're building fighter jets. Take some of that cash.
Not as many as they used to, but...
Not as many.
Yeah, okay. Huh. Speaking of being frugal, Dan, let's go to the Dollar General Bowl.
I love a good dollar store, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
A good dollar store, yeah.
Me too. Dollar General Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, in Ladd Peebles Stadium. Friday, December 23rd, 8 p.m. on ESPN. We've got the Troy Trojans at 9-3. They are a 3.5-point favorite against the Ohio Bobcats, who finished the year at 8-5, Dan. We've been pretty high on Troy this year, haven't we?
Love Neil Brown and the Trojans.
Yeah, how you feeling about this game?
I think I actually may like Ohio a little bit more than Troy. After the App State win, they won that game 28-24 late. They had a letdown situation, which they just sort of got trounced by Arkansas State. But the thing about the Trojans is they're pretty good at everything. They're not great at any one thing, but they're good at being not bad, if that makes sense. Ohio improved a ton on defense this year. Their run defense was actually like lockdown, lights out, really, really good. Pass defense was all right. If you remember, Ohio made it to the MAC championship game and stayed with Western Michigan, which is not an easy thing to do in 2016. And the big thing is Ohio is excellent in the red zone and Troy not so good in the red zone. So offense was a struggle for Ohio, but if you remember about Ohio as well, they were neck and neck with Tennessee earlier on in the season in Knoxville. So they play well. They come to play. I'm going to go with Ohio here outright. I think they upset the Trojans 24-20.
We've been hanging around too much.
Big statement in Lad Peebles, Ty.
We've been hanging around too much. Who didn't almost beat Tennessee, by the way?
That's true. Fair.
I don't know how much of a badge of honor that is, but still, they beat Toledo, which is a good win. They hung tough with Western Kentucky. I think in terms of on-field product, both teams have played like garbage over the last month of the year. You look at what both of them have done.
Yeah,
neither one has been impressive throughout the course of November. For Troy, though, it's been a fairly drastic drop-off, and I think that's what scares me most here. I am going to side with you. I am taking the Bobcats to win this one outright, but I am not uber confident in it. I'm going to say 6 confidence points here.
Okay.
Give me the Bobcats, okay?
I'm right around there myself.
So the question is, though, is this gift suite from Dollar General better than the gift suite from the people that make fighter jets and the like?
Without question, Ty.
Really?
We're talking about a leather duffel bag. Okay,
ooh,
great. You're going away for a weekend. You're going on an overnight trip. Wonderful. Leather duffel bag. Pure Boom wireless headphones. Have I heard of Pure Boom? I have not. But wireless headphones? Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a good enough gift. A Wilson souvenir game ball. RTIC soft pack 40 cooler.
See, that's the thing. That's what I was telling you about.
Oh, that is.
The Arctic, yeah. The vacuum sealed cup.
Oh, I get it. Arctic. And a Timely Watch Company watch.
See, that's a pretty good selection right there.
I'm totally good. I would rather go to the Dollar General Bowl. Where is this one more time?
Dollar General Bowl is in Mobile, Alabama. Nice town.
Okay, no, I'd rather go to Fort Worth than Mobile. But I'd rather have this gift bag.
Absolutely. Dollar General doing it up. Good for them.
Yes.
All right, Christmas Eve, 8 p.m., on ESPN, we've got Hawaii at home in the Hawaii Bowl in Honolulu, Hawaii, in Aloha Stadium against Middle Tennessee State. So Hawaii went 6-7. Middle Tennessee went 8-4. I like Hawaii. I root for Hawaii. They beat Air Force this year, which was a nice win. They also played a surprisingly brutal schedule.
True.
This concludes all the niceties I have to say about Hawaii football this year.
Oh, man, really?
That's it.
Okay. Well, Ty, I know the people are clamoring for some analytics. And let me tell you something. Hawaii, top 20 in offensive and defensive touchdowns per play improvement. Let's
throw that out the window.
No, absolutely not. Touchdowns per play. It's simple. You want a touchdown. You want to be efficient scoring touchdowns and preventing them. That's fine.
All right.
The Hawaii offense is nothing special. The defense was decent enough against the pass, which is good news. Brent Stockstill, who broke his collarbone, I think, earlier on in November, may be back for Middle Tennessee. Not Middle Tennessee State, Ty. Middle Tennessee.
Oh, excuse me.
Middle Tennessee. Hawaii was good enough in the red zone. Middle Tennessee, it's a really good offense. If you remember the name, Itavius Mathers, who transferred from Ole Miss, had a very nice season for Middle Tennessee. I'm going to go with MTU. I'm going with Middle Tennessee 30-27. And a nail biter far, far away from, I think it's Murfreesboro, in Hawaii. I think they take it.
What concerns me a little bit is that Middle Tennessee played their best game of the year back in September.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's sort of been a story of diminishing returns. They fought Western Kentucky. They only lost by one. They beat Missouri, which is a win over an SEC team. Great. Fine. But you mentioned they lost Brent Stockstill. We'll have to wait and see on his front. And it's been a bit of a struggle bus on offense all throughout November. They did close out the year by hanging 77 on FAU, which I think is a nice sign if we're examining trends here moving into bowl season. I still like Middle Tennessee. I'm not as high on them as I expected to be when I just kind of looked at this matchup from afar. When I actually dug in, I wasn't as gung-ho on Middle Tennessee. But if it were a situation where I felt like they were packing it in, maybe I'd be swayed to go Hawaii. I don't think that's the case here. I think this is a story of a team learning to play with a freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
And they have been getting better through that process. So I'm reasonably confident here. Not as confident as I expected to be, but still confident enough that I'm going to unload the big guns. Let's go 34 points.
Wow.
Are they still the Blue Raiders?
I believe so.
Give me 34 on the Blue Raiders, dog.
Yeah, I wonder if Hawaii players are going to be tired from having no benches in the fourth quarter, the third quarter of that game at this point. And it should also be noted, here's something that's great about this game, the whatever it's called, the Hawaii Bowl. I've gone to warmer places, beachside places, and I've forgotten bathing suits because I didn't think I was going to go to the beach. Then we ended up at the beach. Guess what? The Hawaii Bowl, they've got you covered. So we're talking about an electronics gift suite, Oakley backpack, Holbrook sunglasses, a Tory Richard Aloha shirt. I just looked it up, Ty.
Tory Richard?
Like Tory Richard Aloha shirt.
Huh.
The shirt is just a dad shirt as hell, but it's, as far as those go, it's pretty sharp. I got to tell you, it's pretty sharp. A beach towel, pro athletic swim trunks, and team performance gear. So they've got you set for your time off in Hawaii.
Okay.
Sunglasses, beach towel,
yeah.
Hawaiian shirt, trunks.
See, at least it's like a thematic.
It's utility.
Gift bag. The Lockheed Martin sweater to me
garbage.
Is perplexing.
Come on now.
Maybe they're cutting costs. I don't know.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise
Seems weak
me.
To me. All right. St. Petersburg Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Was this the game that people were urging us to try and sponsor?
I don't think it's too late, Ty. We can call it the Gnocchi Bowl.
The Gnocchi Bowl.
Or the Bowl of Gnocchi.
There you go. St. Petersburg Bowl.
Yeah.
In St. Petersburg, Florida. This one's on Monday, December 26th. It's at 11 a.m. Bright and early, day after Christmas.
Yeah.
On ESPN, Mississippi State. They are 5-7 on the year, but they're going bowling, and they're a 12.5 point favorite. Against Miami, Ohio, they finished 6-6. Dan, tell the people the fun stat about Miami, Ohio.
Miami of Ohio is also the name of a city in Florida. Miami of Ohio, Florida. No, Miami started the season 0-6. I'm a dumb person, Ty. Miami of Ohio started 0-6, and they finished 6-0 to get bowl eligible at 6-6. Again, Ty, I know what you're saying. Give me some analytics. I got them for you, Ty.
Thank you.
Another top 20, both offense and defense, in terms of improvement, touchdowns per play. And this is where I turn the floor over to you. Tell me about your favorite Gus Ragland interception this year, Ty.
That's because there were none, Dan.
There were zero. There were zero Miami of Ohio interceptions, but they cannot run the ball. So
they can't run the ball, but your favorite stat about them starting 0-6 and finishing 6-0, a big part of that turnaround story is because of that quarterback change to Gus Ragland.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sophomore. He played the last six games, completed 62% of his passes, threw 15 touchdowns to zero interceptions. Hell of a job by him, hell of a job by Chuck Martin, kind of keeping this thing together and getting Miami, Ohio, even to a bowl game. I believe they are motivated. I don't see how you could see it differently after they won their last six games.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, though, this is going to be a challenge for them going up against a guy like Nick Fitzgerald.
Yes.
I think he takes over this game. I ultimately think they win. If I'm betting the point spread here, 12.5 feels like a lot. I could see Miami, Ohio fighting the Bulldogs here for a while. But the best player on the field is going to be Nick Fitzgerald. And especially with a team like Miami, Ohio, which is so one-dimensional, still against an SEC team, I don't think that bodes well. So I'm going to unload again, and I'm going to say 31 points. I don't know why I'm doing that, but 31 points here, Mississippi State, lock it up.
Wow. You're not about that for education, Fred Ross? You're not about A.J. Jefferson? A.J. Jefferson might be the best player on the field, to me.
I do like a good for education, but I still think Nick Fitzgerald is the X factor here.
Ty, this podcast is about many things, and not the least of which is inspiration. And did Mississippi State let not getting to six wins stop them from getting to a bowl game?
No, it didn't.
I ask you that, Ty.
It didn't.
Did Mississippi State, and this is for the kids out there.
Yeah.
All the kids out there who think that you can't post the worst SEC pass defense and still get to a bowl game. Nah, absolutely not. Do not think like that. Because here is Mississippi State, completely unable to stop anyone from passing on them after Manny Diaz takes off for Miami and they hire Peter Sermon. They still get to a bowl game. They still get to St. Pete. I'm going to take Mississippi State here by 17, 18 points. I have it 38-20.
38-20, okay.
Yeah.
What's the gift situation in St. Petersburg?
So A.J. Jefferson and the Fred Education will be receiving a trip to a gift suite, Oakley Turbine sunglasses.
A trip to a gift suite?
A trip to a gift suite. That's what it says, gift suite.
Okay.
Oakley Turbine sunglasses and an Enduro 20 backpack. Enduro 20 sounds like budget condoms. It sounds like many of them. I'm looking up Oakley Turbine sunglasses right now. It kind of sounds like if you need to name it, the Oakley Turbine, they're probably not going to be super cool. But let's see. They're all right.
They must somewhere in the marketing boast that they're aerodynamic.
They are Guy Fieri as hell, Ty.
Oh, boy.
The turbines.
Like the old blade style?
No, not quite like that. But like their sunglasses that you would wear on the back of your head, you know, hanging off of your ears.
Gosh.
That's what it looks like. They're sunglasses that Steven from Laguna Beach would wear.
Okay, right. I got you.
Did you watch Laguna Beach, The Real Orange County?
I did a little bit here and there, yeah.
Oh, it was such a good show, Ty.
That's in your old stomping ground, isn't it?
I mean, it's about an hour and a half from my parents, but it's still. Dieter with the fashion shows, Ty?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You're not wrong,
Dan. We play a game based on Laguna Beach, The Real Orange County, called Dunzo or Not Dunzo.
Yeah.
So
we have to
it
do
is
that
important
again.
To me.
We have to resurrect
we
that
We will
this
do
year.
That again. Yes.
All right. Quick Lane Bowl. Oh, God. Oh, God. Quick Lane Bowl. Detroit. Day after Christmas. Talk about a turd in the stocking. Ford Field. The day after Christmas. 2:30 on ESPN. Maryland 6-6. A 2-point favorite somehow, some way over Boston College. 6-6, Dan. This one, I think, is neck and neck with Florida, Iowa for worst bowl game of the year.
It really shocks that not only are both Maryland and Boston College bowl eligible, but they play each other. Like we're quarantining this technicality. Do you have nice things to say?
I mean, this game is really evenly matched, and it's not a badge of honor, but seriously, they've got identical records. In the S&P Plus, Maryland, I believe, is 87th and BC is 88th. The point spread has this one damn near a pick 'em. These teams deserve each other.
Okay, it's the year the worst of bowl games.
They deserve each other. It's a very equally matched contest. I'm going to take Boston College. I don't feel great about it. It's like a one confidence point kind of thing. I just believe the best entity in this game is going to be their defense, and I'm willing to wager one single solitary point on it.
So do you foresee a bunch of guys acting like dudes?
I believe, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Maryland. They didn't take really huge steps forward or back. It was kind of an atrocious season. They ran the ball all right at times, especially early on, but that was about it. Boston College got way worse defensively without Don Brown. They got way worse. They got a little bit better on offense just by not having everybody go down with charred bones. I'm going to go Maryland 21-17.
21-17. That's a lot of points for this game.
A lot of points for this game. And listen, Detroit is not the sexiest destination to go in the middle of winter, the beginning of winter. But I had a pretty good time in Detroit a few months ago. And you know what? At the very least, they're going to be walking away with a bunch of stuff because they feel bad that they're sending people to Detroit. $200 Best Buy gift card, JBL headphones, life-size fathead decal for each participant of his own likeness.
Sweet.
A hoodie, a winter hat, Rock'em apparel socks, a backpack, and a vintage football. You know what, Ty? It might sound stupid. I love that they're getting socks because you're only as comfortable as your feet, especially in the cold. They are thoughtful, good for Quicklane. Is Quicklane like a lube company? What is Quicklane?
I believe Quicklane is
it's like an Insta-lube?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Insta-lube hotline.
The Camping World Independence Bowl, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Shreveport, Louisiana, in Independence Stadium. It's a clash between NC State at 6-6 and a 4-point favorite over Vandy at 6-6, Dan.
Yeah.
NC State coming off a big win over in-state North Carolina to close out their season. Vandy coming off two giant wins over Ole Miss and Tennessee to close out their season. Both these teams are plucky as hell. They are plucky as hell. Combined, they have 12 losses. Eight of those losses were one-score games.
So the Danalytics pluckability factor for North Carolina State is 4.1, Ty.
Okay.
No, there is not a pluckability index. No, you're right. You know, North Carolina State, a field goal away, as I'm sure Wolfpack fans know, from beating Clemson. You said 4-point favorite in this game?
Yeah.
NC State's offense got worse, and that's not a great sign against a Vanderbilt defense that is, for the most part, excellent. I don't say that lightly. Vandy's offense got better over the course of the season. They did struggle initially. I have Vandy not only covering this spread, Ty, outright and lock it up.
Whoa!
Absolutely.
Lock of the week.
Okay. All right.
23-13 Doors. How about that?
NC State, Dan, went 2-5 in their last seven games after beating Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
The ND Stank shouldn't be overlooked if we're considering these intangibles here.
Yeah.
In bowl season. And Vandy was fired up. Fired up with how they closed out their season against Tennessee. Vandy, to me, is a cool story. Cool story with how I feel they turned the corner late in the year. People are excited about Derek Mason, where he could be taking this program now moving forward. I'm not quite as high on Vandy as you are, but I do like them outright, and I do like them to the tune of 15 confidence points, Dan.
Ooh, okay. That's significant. And this is also a reminder. Don't say anything bad about Shreveport, Louisiana, or Shreveport's own Tim Brando will hunt you down. He will hunt you down, and I imagine he has blow darts. I do imagine that.
What are the gifts?
Nothing too special. Come on, Shreveport. Gift suite, Timely Watch Company watch, which for my money, Ty, is no MVMT.
No.
A new era skull cap and football, a football, or just the gift of football. It just says singular football.
You ever wear a skull cap?
It's like a tighter version of a beanie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like real. I don't like that as much. I've got a weirdly shaped head.
Like a second skin atop your head. You don't like that?
No, I got a weirdly shaped head tie. I did wear, for the first time this season, this winter, I wore a beanie to brunch on Sunday. Got a wonderful Mexican brunch and wore that because it was cold as hell and I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm a fan of compression gear pretty much across the board except the skull cap.
Okay.
Just sort of a weird feeling when you take it off. I don't like that.
Fair.
Let's talk a little bit about Harry's. So I have full disclosure here. Did you happen to notice when you saw me on Friday evening that my lip was torn to shreds?
I mean, you looked particularly smooth, Ty.
My lip was torn to shreds. I tried shaving.
How did that happen?
I tried shaving with an electric razor. I veered away from Harry's and
it's
got like my lip caught in it and it tore it to like smithereens.
What are you doing with your life?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a big
dummy. I didn't notice that, Ty. I did not. So. Feel okay about yourself.
Here is your opportunity. If you're looking for the right fit for a guy who you don't know what to buy for the holiday season, buy the guy on your holiday shopping list, Harry's. It's useful, again, practical. You get close, comfortable shaves. Don't got to worry about that beard of bees. Don't got to worry about chopping off your lip.
I think smooth is generally a very positive thing. For a body.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice and clean, smooth. But I will tell you this, and I don't know if I've brought this up on the show before. Are you near your computer?
Yeah, I'm right in front of it.
Do you have google.com readily available?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever Googled, because we're talking about, you know, staying smooth.
Yeah.
Have you ever Googled hairless bear?
No.
Ty, go on Google Image right now and Google hairless bear, like B-E-A-R, like the animal.
Oh,
hairless bear.
That's awful.
It's so weird. Oh, it's so weird. Everybody at home, if
that
you're in
poor
your car,
bear. Pull over. That's cruel.
Yeah, it is some sort of issue. It's a disease of some kind. So
jeez.
I hope this does not happen to your personal bear. But whoa, is it weird?
Personal bear, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Harry's right now has a limited edition set and a special offer for Arvor Ballers. If you haven't heard of Harry's before, it was started by two best friends, Jeff and Andy. They were fed up with being overcharged for razors. So they started their own company. They wanted to give people what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. Dan, Harry's has a ready-to-gift shave set at all different price points. It starts at just $15. They all come with a razor, handle of your choosing, shaving cream, and replacement blades, as well as a travel cover. The travel cover, by the way, is worth its weight in gold.
Do it.
Right now, special offer if you're listening. We have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you enter the code SOLID at checkout. SOLID. Enter it at checkout. Ground shipping for the holidays ends on December 16th, 2 days from now. Act now. Go to harrys.com. Get a holiday shave set. Don't forget to enter the code SOLID for $5 off. harrys.com. Your code is SOLID, Dan.
Simple.
All right. We've got one more game and then a special treat here. Let's talk about another chicken bowl.
More fried chicken.
Yeah, Zaxby's. You ever been to Zaxby's?
I've never had Zaxby's. I know what it is. And they have all sorts of, like, you can get a salad instead of a salad. They have all sorts of punny names. But never had it. Have heard it's totally fine.
Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, Dallas, Texas. Cotton Bowl Stadium, Tuesday, December 27th at high noon on ESPN. It is the Army Black Knights against the North Texas Mean Green. Army 7-5, North Texas 5-7. Army a 9-point favorite, Dan. It's going to be their second bowl appearance since 1996, Dan. It's up against a team that I feel is ill-equipped to handle the Army rushing attack. So I'm heavy Army. I'm heavy to the tune of 37 confidence points, Dan. Lock them up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Army wins this game. North Texas, a good story. First-year coach comes over from North Carolina. North Carolina's own offense, losing Seth Luttrell, took a bit of a step back at times. They've improved, but they're still sort of underwhelming everywhere. It's going to take a little bit to get better. Army can certainly run. We just saw what they could do against Navy, and they stopped the pass relatively well enough. So I think I like Army as well by a couple touchdowns. I'm going to say 28-14, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
It says gift suite, a football, and I don't understand why they're not giving away tendos, but whatever. This is where I think, and this is an unpaid advertisement that's about to happen. They're giving away an Amazon Echo Dot.
Oh.
You own one of these and you like it, correct?
I don't know if I should spill the beans on this or not.
Okay. Just tell me what you think of the product first.
The product is awesome.
Okay.
We also may or may not have a solid verbal college football news briefing that will be available.
Nice.
Via the
Let me ask you this, Ty.
In short order.
Will you test it? It's not in the room in which you are podcasting, right?
No. Not now.
Will you say, and let's just test it and see if it works, at the volume at which you're speaking right now, hey, Alexa, come on, feel it.
I will test that.
Okay, test it right now. Here we go. Let's just see what happens.
Hey, Alexa, come on, feel it.
You feel it, baby? You feel it, Alexa?
Oh, you're too much.
It's the greatest song ever written.
All right, so we mentioned Army. We've got one final nugget for all y'all.
What do you
As got? We mentioned on the last two shows, our good friend Taylor from Talkin' Terps, from Zardcast,
oh, yeah,
particularly from the Solid Verbal, he's been helping us for years now. We sent him in our place down to the Army-Navy game. He went around, got some interviews. He did an admirable job on the Snapchat. And now at long last, here's a little audio segment he clipped together to play aloud on the verbal. Here's our boy Taylor down at Army-Navy.
Can you describe what you're wearing?
I got my old grad t-shirt on.
Why just the old grad t-shirt today?
We're going to beat Navy.
Why? How you feeling right now? Are you cold? Are you resolved against the winter?
I'm resolved. I'm spending quite a bit of time up at Fort Drum, well north of here, and this is our general kind of spring highs. Usually like early June, late May. So this is summer right now.
So they're going to break the streak this year. This is the year they do it.
Yes, this is definitely the year. Everything else has happened this year. Why not?
Hey, Verballers, this is Chief Reverb Engineer Taylor Schwenk coming at you from Charm City, USA, Baltimore, Maryland, for the 2016 edition of Army Navy. I'm on the scene at USA's Media Row here in the Baltimore Convention Center, chatting with a couple national media types. We're going to talk about the game, college football in general, the playoffs, and what everyone's watching on TV. Let's go. Joined by the Desmond Howard of College Game Day fame. Here on the Solid Verbal, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Join us now, Clay Travis, Outkick the Coverage. How are you, sir? Thanks for joining me.
I'm excellent. How are you?
Doing well. Okay, we're here with the great John Feinstein, author, columnist, multimedia mogul these days. You're a radio guy, you're a TV guy. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here, Taylor. Thanks.
Nate Boyer, Army Green Beret, Texas Longhorn. 5 minutes with the Seattle Seahawks.
So you've been, how many Army-Navy games have you been to?
This will be my 24th. I first went in 1990, and that was where I got the idea, being at the game for the first time, to do a Civil War. And I've been to every game since. The kids who play in this game, in 999 cases out of 1,000, will not play in the NFL. The only uniform they'll wear when they graduate will be Army, Navy, or Marines. They have volunteered, as have all 8,000 cadets and midshipmen who will be in that stadium tomorrow, to die for their country if they have to. They don't want to, but they understand that if we go to war, and we've been at war since I wrote A Civil War on a number of occasions, they will be put very likely in harm's way. I've had many of the kids I wrote about have been to Iraq, have been to Afghanistan. One of them, Kevin Norman, who was a punter at Army, died overseas. So it's different than any other game.
Do you have like a preference, maybe a bias, Army, Navy? Do you go one way or the other?
You know, I'm really torn between the two, to be honest, because my football mentor was actually the head coach at Army in the mid-1970s, a man named Homer Smith. He was the head coach there from 1974 to 1978, and I ended up being a graduate assistant at Alabama under Coach Smith, followed him to UCLA, and 90% of what I know about the game I learned from Homer Smith. Most people think it would come from Bill Belichick or Nick Saban because I worked with those two gentlemen at the Browns right after my time with Coach, but really Homer Smith was my number one mentor.
We were in the car on Thanksgiving, and we were driving to my parents' house or my sister's house, and I was talking to the two oldest boys. I mean, the two-year-old was in there too, but he can ignore me without any consequence right now. And I was trying to explain to them how much we had to be thankful for, and about halfway through, my six-year-old just said, "Dad, my iPad's not working." And so, you know, obviously, you try to make. I thought I was doing an incredible job. I thought I'd really given them a speech that was going to, you know, resonate with them, reverberate with them for years to come. And instead, they're just worried that their iPads aren't working.
So now that the season's winding down, you got any vacations lined up? That's what I'm interested in.
I may go to Columbia. I may go to Columbia, but I don't have anything lined up yet. But those are the places that are on my radar so far.
Okay. Yeah. International. I like it.
Yes, sir.
What does Gary Danielson do once the season is done? Are you catching up on TV shows? Do you have vacations lined up?
A little bit of everything, number one, but that's true. Yes, I don't get to watch much TV during football season, so a little bit of that. It's nice to have your DVR ready for, you know, a little bit of Ray Donovan, a little bit of Suits, a little bit of Game of Thrones, you know, my favorite shows. So, yes, that's part of it. Get back in shape a little bit, start doing my exercises a little bit more diligently, and play a little golf and enjoy my family time.
So we're walking around the parking lots between Camden Yards and M&T Bank Stadium. We're going to find some tailgaters to talk to, see what they're eating. Thoughts on the game, thoughts on life, and it's really, really cold out here, so let's see what they got to say. Can you tell everyone what you're doing right now?
Shucking oysters.
Shucking oysters, and what's the proper technique to shuck oysters for those who don't know?
Not cut yourself.
And is this your heating tower over here, too?
It is.
That's pretty serious. Yeah, I'd love an oyster.
All right, here we go. We got the hot sauce, cocktail sauce, lemons.
I'm gonna go for one raw.
Fire it up.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
It's a ship head.
A ship head?
Yeah. A foam ship head.
What kind of ship is on your head?
Some kind of a destroyer.
I notice you guys have a Chick-fil-A nugget platter. Is the Chick-fil-A nugget platter the number one seed for tailgating food? I had to think about it.
I would like to say it is. I think that most people don't think about bringing Chick-fil-A nuggets to the tailgate, so we're ahead of the game.
Would you mind telling us what we're standing in front of right now?
Sure. This is the Bradley Fighting Vehicle. So in layman's terms, we've got a 25-millimeter Bushmaster cannon on the front. We bring infantrymen into the fight, and then we support them with that 25-millimeter cannon.
Awesome. Only at Army Navy. This is my pal Richie over here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, T. How are you?
Doing great. Army Navy, big day in the Schmerman family life. What's going on here? What do we have happening around us?
So we have the tailgates of all tailgates. I think we've got three cars set up, about 30 pounds of burgers and dogs and brats, two coolers full of beer, and it's great. We've got obviously a ton of Navy fans, but we do have a small group of Army fans here. And they're always welcome here. That's the great thing about this game is the respect between the two teams.
Before last year, how long was your Army-Navy game streak?
31 straight games. Today's my 45th game.
Right on. So I was told that you missed last year. Can you tell us why you were unable to attend last year?
Well, unfortunately, I was putting up Christmas lights and was attacked by a giant beaver and fell off the ladder and broke four ribs. And despite the medications I was provided and the Jimi Hendrix music that I was listening to, I could not attend the game, and the streak was broken, sadly.
Army just won. Can you put your feelings into words at this moment?
So it's phenomenal. I've been in the Army 13 years. I've never seen a W, my first Army-Navy game, and they get to win. I got to say, I think I'm the good luck charm.
And I just wish Brandon was here to celebrate with us, because I know right now he's celebrating up there. So it's all for B-Jack.
I know they played this game just for him, and it just feels so rewarding to know that we finally beat the hell out of Navy!
You guys made it onto the field?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We were eyeing the goalposts, but those are pretty heavily guarded, so we stayed off. But
what's your plans for afterwards? You guys got to go back up New York? Or?
No, we're staying down here for the night. Celebrate. I don't know. We'll see.
So we watched the game in the press box. How many... How many claps did you get in the press box, do you think?
I clapped three times total, in two different instances. I had a one clap early on and then stopped myself. And we had a big third down conversion or a fourth down conversion. I had a double clap after that one. But that was it. Three claps. I went down on the field with 5 minutes left in the game after we scored the go-ahead touchdown. I clapped a lot there. My cheeks still hurt from smiling. It was freaking awesome, man.
Wow, there you go.
I like it. I felt like I was there, Ty, and I'm glad I wasn't because it seemed cold.
The verbal represented well by our good friend Taylor.
Did a great job. I got to get to that game someday.
Send him your tweets of love at CT Schwenk.
Do it.
All right. Thank you, Dan, for hopping on with me, helping give some insight into this next wave of bowl games.
Ty, I do have actual college football breaking news if you want to hear it.
Oh, please.
It actually deserves the sound.
Okay. Late breaking news.
Boop, 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 boop. Notre Dame's losing their offensive coordinator.
Oh, wow.
Mike Sanford expected to be the next coach at Western Kentucky. SI's Pete Thamel tweeted that out about an hour ago.
Good for him.
You had some negative reactions to some play calling this year?
The play calling was part of the issue this year. Yeah. But okay. Mike Sanford's a young guy. He's got coaching in his genes. So I don't think this is entirely unexpected. There was some smoke that maybe he would be bolting for Houston, for some of the other gigs that became available. I'm not surprised to see that he is getting the gig at Western Kentucky. Good move for him.
All right. Fair enough.
Good move for him. Okay. On that note, thank you as always for tuning into The Verbal. Check us out iTunes.com/solidverbal. Don't forget to get on in the bowl pick and pool. You still got time for that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand. Catch you all in a few days. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.